I mentioned realignment. Realignment is the governor's plan to reduce the prison population. He didn't reduce the prison population because he wanted to. He reduced the, had to, was forced to reduce the prison population because first a federal three-judge panel and then the United States Supreme Court held that conditions within our prisons were so bad that they amounted to, that the medical and mental health treatment amounted to cruel and unusual punishment. As a result, they have to reduce the prison population. Do they have to reduce it to 50%? Do they have to reduce it to 70%, 90%, 100%? Hell no. They have to reduce it to 137%, which means that there's still going to be overcrowded dens of iniquity, right? And that's what they subject our people to, our mothers, sisters, brothers, family members, loved ones. This is what they're going. So when we talk of education, there's lots of educating going on there as to man's inhumanity to man. That's why what critical resistance talks about, we talk about a vision of a world where we no longer lock up people in cages, lock up men and women in cages in the name of justice. That ain't no justice. And so right now, and having been to prison, unfortunately, matter of fact, it was fortunate because, you know, that's where I needed to be for the moment, right? So that I could continue to educate myself to be an effective advocate when I get back out here on the streets. Education is new. What people are learning is how to be more callous, more inhumane with respect to each other. So now, right now, with realignment, which what in response to that Supreme Court case that says that you gotta reduce the prison population over 3 years by someplace between 39 and 44,000, the governor, Jerry Brown, the liberal so-called, has decided that he's gonna take them from the over certain felon, they call them non-non-nons, right? They already got a label for them and it starts with the letter N. And they're gonna put these folks taken from the overcrowded prison system and put them down in the local county, overcrowded county jail system. However, out of adversity, just like my personal adversity got me to Skid Row, got me clean and sober here in the world's largest recovery community, this opens up the door and gives us an opportunity because they're going into new ground when folks like us been trying to make a dollar out of 15 cents all our life. We know how to make some good shit happen if they're gonna help us, but we got to have a vision. That's why I'm pushing the vision of critical resistance and curb. All right, we got to envision a world and a life without prison. I hate to do this, but anybody else beside me been to prison or in jail up in here? All right, you know, something wrong, y'all, okay? They got what they call the school to prison pipeline. And guess whose children goes it? If you look at that poster there, we got some posters that talk about California being number one in prison construction spending and number 50, here we are, the golden state. Number 50 in K-12 spending. The Bible talks about you can tell where a man's heart is by where he lays up his treasure. Our treasures go into building prison for your children and my children, not for educating them. So we got some work to do. But the first thing we got to do is to incorporate a vision as to what true safety is and how we want to respond to harm. And you know what true safety comes from? Keeping the man in the house, keeping the men in the community, being accountable to each other, getting the dope out of our communities. California, once the war on drug was declared, there was like 20 or 30,000 people being held in the California prisons. Mm-hmm. Then in 19, in 1985, nationwide, there were a million. It got it from 1840s or whenever the first prison was built up until 1985 before there was 1 million people put together, all incarcerated. Then from 1985 to 2000, it doubled. Why? The war on drugs. And the war on drugs is a war on the people, and primarily people of color. So I'm jumping around, but CURB has what's called a budget for humanity, right? This budget for humanity speaks to funding for treatment facilities, speaks to funding for educational facilities. One of the main ingredients and the main assets of CURB and of critical resistance is no new prisons, no new jail expansion, and only through the intervention of the courts. And let's understand something. These federal courts is people that populated by conservative white men by and large. So this wasn't no liberal judge that just said, open the doors and let them out, right? So things were so bad that one person was needlessly dying per week in the prisons, which forced them over time. So we ask you, any of you to represent organizations, or just there's papers over there talking about signing on to this budget for humanity that talks about the reallocation of funds from prison expansion and the expansion of the prison industrial complex to things that will really help. And then finally, there's also a paper called 50 Ways to Reduce the Number of People in Prison in California. Some of these, now this has been around for more than a decade, and then I'll shut up, right? Some of these, as a result of the crisis situation, have been incorporated into this reentry thing. So removing state prison as a sentence option, right? They have done that for these 999. So you get convicted of certain nonviolent, non-sex, non-serious crimes, you're going to be sentenced to the already overcrowded, under indictment county jail system rather than going to state prison. Eliminate the disparity in sentence between crack and powder cocaine. I'm not going to do the numbers. That's already been done on the federal level. Implement policies such as intermediate sanctions. So when you're on parole and you get violated and they end up sending you back to the state pen, for certain they've got this non-revocable parole. So there was 10 of these 50 that have already been enacted. What I'm saying to you, that what we need to do, we need to be vigilant. We need to be militant. We need to create our own vision of what our communities could be, keeping our men. And when our men make mistakes, yes, there's something called restorative justice. Right now, if I do harm to you, right, they don't make me make restitution to you. They lock me up, and maybe you limping along, so now that's two brothers out the way. You understand what I'm saying? So this budget for humanity speaks to ways that we can create our own vision of safety and work together towards making things better. Thank y'all.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Keith. That was excellent. Okay, we're going to move to Keith James, and then we're going to open up the floor for Q and A. So, Mr. Keith James.
Thank you. There's a few points to stimulate the Q&A. I mean, I think there's different ways to come at this question. I mean, I think one thing is when you get down to it, in the final analysis, we need revolution. And nothing short and nothing less. And then we do need to put together a whole other kind of a society that would be uprooting exploitation and oppression. And frankly, this is possible. And we've been told it's not. We've been told it's been defeated forever and capitalism is now triumphant. And I think it's very much related to this prison system.
Kevin, is it?
Yeah.
You know, you're talking about the war on drugs. Very important. I really agree with your comments. I mean, what was it, the 40-year anniversary, was it?
Yes.
40-year anniversary a couple months ago. Okay, coming out of the 1960s, this is very conscious. I mean, this is not like, you know, crime's actually been going down these last 40 years statistically. This is a very conscious plan. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but let's just get real on this. You know, the ruling class got together, there was a consensus, and they said, you know what? And this is in H.R. Haldeman's book, when him and Nixon were around the table. And Nixon said to them, you know what the problem is?
The blacks.
That's what he said. And he said, and we've got to devise a program to take them out, basically, or to actually remove sections of that society that we think could be catalytic in changing the society for the better.
Right.
You know, and the kind that actually came forward in the 1960s. And they said, we've got to devise a program that would do that without it looking like that's what we're doing. And that's basically what's in his book, and that's actually what they did. And they came up with the war on drugs, and as Kevin was saying, you know, they, for the last 40 years, this thing's been, it started with however many people, however many tens or maybe in the low hundreds of thousands, I don't know the exact statistics, but I do know that today, that there's 2.4 million people in prison. Mm-hmm. It's got the highest incarceration rate in the world. Home of the free, land of the brave, leader of the free world. No. No, this is, this is a state and it's a dictatorship. You know, that's what this is. I mean, they talk about democracy, they go around the world and they point fingers at everybody else. But here they got 2.3 million people in prison, plus they're torturing people. And they're torturing people in the tens of thousands in the prison system. No exaggeration, no hyperbole. You put people in a security housing unit for years and decades, and they don't see sunlight, there's no music, you don't see your family. You know, you don't get out of a concrete thing like this for 1 hour a day, that's it, 23 hours in an 8x10 cell for forever, indefinitely, because somebody, and you know what? Check it out. Nobody is convicted and sentenced to a security housing unit. This prison hunger strike that you're hearing about, this is about the shoes, the security housing units. There's thousands in California, about 3,000. Then there's tens of thousands across the United States. These people, this system and this ruling class over this past period as part of this mass incarceration campaign has been, you know, basically, you know, just trying to change what torture even means, if you will. Like, look, I was because of the hunger strike of 6,000 prisoners, 6,600 in July, it rocked. You know, it's 6,600 prisoners, and then those of us who have been protesting, it's frankly a relatively small number of people. I mean, it's hundreds, if you will, but frankly thousands have signed the petition, so it's having broader impact. But it's actually had significant impact, and this gets to the question of what can people do on the outside a little bit. Because I said we need revolution, and I believe that seriously. I think that's what's needed. I think it's possible. I think we've got to be accelerating preparations towards that. I think we should be talking about like how we're going to get from here to there and then what we're going to put in its place. But I understand that people, not everybody's there or what have you, but short of that, massive resistance. Education, yes. Exposure, yes. I mean, I distributed a newspaper, Revolution newspaper, but also massive resistance. We have got to rock. I mean, look, this incarceration campaign should shock the conscience of the entire world. 2.3 million people and growing, mainly black and Latino youth, sweeping them off the streets. On basically a lot of it is on drugs. It's nonviolent. A lot of it is, you know what I mean? And it's like, this is something that really needs to get hit. We need to be challenged. There needs to be massive resistance. You know, not just hundreds, there needs to be thousands of people. There needs to be an atmosphere in society where this is not tolerated. And it's ended. And there needs to be a battle to end it, and we'll see what that's going to take. You know, some people might think short of revolution it would take that. Some people might think revolution. We all need to get together and fight to end it, because that's what we're saying. Maybe just leave it like that.
Q&A section, and I want to hit it. We have a mic set up with the audience. All right, David.
Yeah, I have several questions. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your help. I have really a plethora of questions for you. Number one, would you please give the racial demographics of what's going on in the penal system? What's the ratio of blacks to Latinos, whites, so forth?
Off the top of my head, I can't totally break it down, but what I do know is that African Americans make up 10% of the prison, of the total United States population, approximately 10%. They make up approximately 10% of total people who use, of the percentage of the population that use drugs. But when you look at who gets arrested, when you look at who gets charged, when you look at who gets convicted, and then who ultimately ends up in prison, right, at each level, right, the youth is level, 10%, right, so that means 90% others. It's about 40% who get arrested, right? It's about 50% who get charged. Then it's about 60 to 70% who end up in prison. So each part of the way, the winnowing process doesn't benefit us, it targets us.
Of course, my question is, if you have that information.
Not off the top of my head.
Okay, if you have it, sir, what is the racial demographic of the incarcerated prisoners in the penal system? Right. Relative to white, blacks, to whites, to Latinos, to Asians, and so forth, if you have that information.
Yeah.
That information is available.
Yeah, it is.
You don't have it here? Let me go on to my next question.
The other day, if this is accurate, the other day I was looking at the state prison system figures, if you will. So I'm talking about California. So we got 2.3 million in prison, and there's a disproportionate number, let's say. In terms of California, it's 162,000 male prisoners, and 70% are people of color. From my statistics of looking at that.
70%?
Yeah, I think that's accurate. Yeah.
Black.
Black.
Okay. Black Latino.
Maybe 90. All right. Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Okay.
The next question I want to know is to answer, you all can answer something that I've been hearing in terms of a rumor and so forth. Has the penal system been privatized by corporations?
Of course.
I'm sorry?
Yes, sir.
That is?
Yes.
All of the penal institutions throughout the United States or what? How's that work?
How it works is that there are prisons for profit that are traded on Wall Street and on the stock exchange. Corrections Corporation of America, I think Wacken Hut. There's a few of them. And so what they do is they make bids. So when the state-run, state-funded prisons reach a certain capacity, right, they will farm out people, particularly in from California. Folks are going to Arizona and as far away as the Mississippi. Right now, it's at a fairly, it's significant, but low level, maybe 5% of the prisoners. But the reason why is because the California Peace Officers Association, which is the Correction Officers Union, is the most powerful union in the world, and it's not gonna let too many jobs get shipped out. But they're not as profitable and they're not as safe as they pretend to be, but there is, that's one part of the dialogue and one of the things. Some of our brothers and sisters here in California are now serving their time in the Mississippi, either state or private jail.
Yeah, did you want to say something?